Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The suspect in the New York City subway shooting arrested, a deadly mass drug overdose in D.C., inflation, mask mandates, and a Texas message delivered to Washington in the form of a busload of migrants from Mexico. We're at the Reporters Roundtable tonight with a look at the top stories of the week. My guests are Nikki Mayo, editor-at-large with Black Women Unmuted, and Niall Campbell, contributor with The Griot. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at hfisher at, that's hfisher, W-H-U-R, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Nikki, Niall, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Thank you
for having us.
Okay, so 30 hours and an arrest is made in the subway shooting. Nikki, they started off talking about the great detective work that was done, but late today, sources are revealing that the suspect called and said, "Here I am, come get me," and they did. Your thoughts about that?
It's showing that there definitely must be some type of either duress or mental health involved in this. The fact that the suspect has priors, dating back to the 90s. There's a lot of questions here. I don't want to speculate too much on motive. But I will say that this shows that terrorism was one thing that the pandemic helped us with because we did not have this many cases or this type of brazen attack for about 2 years.
Yeah. Niall, your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I mean, you hear this and you see his history, like she said, that dated back to the 90s. And it's just, I mean, we're just thankful that it could have been so much worse, right? You know, he had this smoke bomb and then let out over three dozen shots that could have killed so many different people. And it is scary, you know, right when we're starting to get back on our feet, people are getting back on the subways, people are going to work. And now this is a fear that people are having to face. I'm thankful that we were able to catch him, that if he did call in, that he is now in custody. But it is very scary that this is now something that we do have to take back into account as the world continues to open up.
You know, it's interesting, you know, Nikki, you spoke about, you know, the possibility of, you know, a mental health issue. Does that gird against a possible terrorism charge? I know I'm asking a legal question from someone who's not a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer. I don't think so. I mean, it becomes one of those questions of, so think about it, you know, Dylann Roof, shot at the church down in South Carolina. He's still alive and they're doing all this mental evaluation. So it won't protect him against a conviction. It may protect him against something higher when it comes to, well, what type of penalty, what type of punishment are we talking about? But no, I don't know what the magical number is, but when you start dropping bodies in mass shootings, you don't get a lot of leniency for your own life.
Yeah.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. One thing I would say for the first Black police commissioner, Black female police commissioner for the NYPD, no matter how this happened, this is a feather in her cap, Naya.
Yeah. No, for sure. You just don't, like, you, this is just the beginning, like you said, like, you know, anything like this can happen. And for her to have this role, right, and to have this role, and people are watching, right, everyone's watching to see how she handles it. So it is something that, you know, this is just the beginning in many ways, and hopefully we won't have a lot of things like this, but like I said, the world is opening back up, so we don't know what to expect, and it's just about how we go going forward and how we handle the stuff going forward.
And what about the mayor, Mayor Adams? How does this look for him? You know, COVID really does a number on you, even if you are feeling fine but still have to isolate from a political perspective. You know, he's got to stay at home. I mean, he's still suited and booted for, you know, the virtual press conferences. But in the a former police captain, this is supposed to be his wheelhouse. And unfortunately, he had to sit this one out, so to speak, Nikki.
Okay, well, physically, yes. He's not physically there at a podium. But no, he's being present. I will say that this is a very interesting, to say the least, mayor. And he's, I'm trying to find ways.
Well,
to
his suits fit really well.
It fits, but I'm sitting here like, okay, while he's winning the whole tough on crime, if he really goes hard on this, yay, because that's in line step with what he does. But he's going to have to answer some question about those cameras. Mm-hmm. Why were we having malfunctioning cameras? Like, yeah. I get one or two, but why is there such a, why are we only getting cell phone video of this situation is what I'm getting at. And the fact that there were malfunctioning cameras that were hindering the hunt for this man, you know, minutes and the first couple hours, you know, this guy could, he's 61, 62, but he could have easily have been in Jersey by now or in Maryland. So that time is essential and those cameras are necessary. So while he might be patting himself on the back and all the boys in blue might be loving it, there are some questions about your transportation safety here.
Yeah, and there were also reports that the first officer on the scene had difficulties with his radio. His radio wasn't working.
Mm.
And so that is even, you know, more problematic. So I agree, whether it's the MTA cameras, and there was a lot of pushback yesterday at the press conference where, well, that's the MTA, that is not New York City, but... a lot of times, as you're suggesting, Nikki, the buck stops with the mayor. So lots of questions about that. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the top stories of the week at the Reporters Roundtable. Brian calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Brian. What's on your mind?
Hey, Doc, how y'all doing?
I'm doing just fine. Go right ahead.
Good. To piggyback on what the young lady said about if they were to try him with the mental status, I have 30 years of mental health, and the only way he would get a mental status would be to have it already documented on paper. However, due to the COVID situations, mental health has risen tremendously because of people are crying out for help, and those are the ones that slip through the cracks. So we are dealing with this issue as we speak right now.
Yeah, yeah. And as she said, you know, COVID, and as you're suggesting, you know, COVID has been exposing so much in society, whether it be, you know, criminal activity or just how people are dealing with it, even outside of the criminal realm. So, Brian, thank you so much. Bob calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Bob. What's on your mind?
I'm just thinking, you know, it's kind of the elephant in the room, but what was this guy's name?
His name is Frank Robert James.
Frank James, was it?
Yes, Frank Robert James.
So, basically, this guy's named after one of the most notorious gangsters in the history of, I mean, I'm not saying he had a brother named Jesse.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Bob.
I got to turn my radio down.
Yeah, please do. Really, turn your radio down.
A person, but it's just something to think about. Right now, this guy, he's got a long history of being a criminal and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, well... Yeah, that's a reach, but I guess the irony isn't lost on any of us. Bob, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. One of the other stories that is really, really troubling happening in D.C. Mm-hmm. between Saturday and Tuesday. It is the overdose of and deaths of 10 people in D.C., in the Ivy City Trinidad communities, 16 people in total overdosing, 10 dying, all of this happening within 3 days. D.C. police calling it a bad batch. They are suggesting that this was cocaine laced with fentanyl. Nayo, this is heartbreaking on so many levels. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, you hear this and, I mean, your heart goes out to those people. You're wondering, how did this get into the communities? Fentanyl has just, we saw it take the main stage last year when actor Michael K. Williams died from an overdose as well. And I believe he was, his cocaine was also laced with fentanyl. And then you hear it, you know, it's hitting D.C., right? It's hitting our community. And people are dying from this. And you're wondering, like, where is this coming from? Why is this happening? I mean, drugs are, of course, not the answer. But it does start to, you know, ask questions. All right, where is this coming from? And it is really sad. And I'm hoping we can get some answers because, you know, people are doing drugs, right? And to hear that someone is lacing them or whatever, it can continue to spread throughout the community.
And, you know, Nikki, I think the thing that comes to mind, two big issues. First of all, the D.C. Department of Behavioral Health, as a result of this, is now distributing free Narcan, essentially drug lifesavers. They're throwing out the life preservers, the Narcan kits. They're also distributing fentanyl testing. On one hand, it seems like they are really being aggressive and trying to save lives. But does it seem, on the other hand, as if they've just given up and just saying people are going to do this, and so we have to do whatever we can as a stopgap measure?
It's one of these mitigation things that's not very sexy. It's just like when they have, you know, the needle giveaways and the centers for people to come and, you know, clean up. Unfortunately, yeah, you know, you don't want dead people. You have to acknowledge that folks are going to use narcotics. The investigators who, this is all they do is investigate narcotics, realize that somehow there is a bad batch of drugs out there, and they're trying to figure out what's the origin of it or how they can kind of, you know, like, you know, cut it off. And it's not very sexy. People never want to hear that, yes, your taxpayer dollars do often go toward substance abuse, you know, mitigation. And that does mean handing out things for people to test out, like, is their drugs are clean or not? What you can hope, though, with all of this is that since you have narcotics investigators already, that the regular established networks of you know, drug dealers will, I hate to say snitch, but will talk to them and let them know, like, yeah, I heard about these bad, you know, bad stuff that's being given out. It almost plays out like a really bad episode of like a drug show, because they have to identify where it's coming from. It's going to mess around, and I mean, any death is bad. But if they don't catch this quick, it's going to mess around and, like, take out somebody who has enough influence to really hold the law enforcement community accountable. So this is a race against time to make sure that whatever this batch is originating from gets, you know, cut off.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. If you have a comment or question, give us a call. One of the things that this also reminds all of us of is of the horrific and powerful pull of drug addiction. Mm-hmm. And you know, we are seeing these numbers. The last time there was a mass deadly overdose, late January, 9 people died. And the lion's share of those people were over 50 years old. This time, the ages ranged from 30 to 60. But we're still seeing in these numbers, you know, people who are in the latter stages of middle age, before you can call them seniors, and they are obviously drawn to the deleterious effects of addiction. And even when you hear, because you know what they say, the streets talk, so you don't have to read it in the newspaper or online or hear about it on this program, you know, I'm sure the folks who overdosed this past week, they knew what happened in January, but they still took their chances.
That's addiction. I mean, it's an illness. It's a disease, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And addiction will make you make not great decisions. So, yeah, they knew the risk, but if they needed to have that fixed bad enough, then they're going to take the risk. What I do worry more about is when people buy from someone they're not familiar with, that's dangerous. Like, ridiculously dangerous versus, you know, go back to your regular person. Because that way, I mean, real talk is tried, tested, and vetted. I would prefer them not to be using myself.
Right.
But, you know, at least they know they haven't had an incident yet with that person's drug.
Yeah. And I think that's so important to point out. Just the fact that, like, with addiction, that you start to lose who you don't trust. I mean, you start to go to people that you don't even trust, right? Like people that you barely even know, because you're so addicted, right? But that also begs the question, like, will these products that they're trying to test out to see if it has fentanyl, like, will that even work? Will these people even want to use those products, or are they so addicted to this drug that it's just going to kind of go by the wayside?
Yeah, I mean, okay, they buy it, they test it, it's there, but now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to use anyway. Yeah.
And if they use their last dollar.
Exactly.
And they see that it has fentanyl in it, they're, you know what, like, whatever, I need this fixed right now. So you really don't know if it's going to work. But like you said, it's not sexy, but, you know, you're putting it out there and hope and pray that people won't use the lace drug.
Yeah. 202-31.
Hold on one second.
I got to take a break and I'll let you finish on the other side. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable with the top stories of the week. John Mons is next on WHUR with the original Quiet Storm. I'm Harold Fisher. More of this conversation on SiriusXM Channel 141 in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable with a look at the top stories of the week. My guests are Nikki Mayo, editor-at-large with Black Women Unmuted, and Niall Campbell, contributor with The Griot. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lots to talk about. We've already discussed the New York subway shooting, talking about right now the deadly mass drug overdose in D.C. We've got to tackle inflation, mask mandates, and that bus ride from Texas to D.C. with a delivery of migrants from Mexico. All of those on deck. Give us a call if you have a comment or a question at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nikki, before the break, you were talking about Narcan.
Yeah, just being realistic about who's going to request the Narcan kit. These are life-saving, yes, but you have to tell them, you know, where to meet you, where you live. And that, the risk right there alone, I mean, it is supposed to be safe, but I'm having a hard time believing that someone so strung out is going to entrust something that's, you know, funded by local government. I just don't see that being the quickest, like, I'm going to go do this. Now, maybe a loved one might request it. It might end up being that type of case. And this could save their life.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about addiction and the bad decisions that come along with addiction because, you know, you're inhibited, I don't even know. I would love to see the numbers on how many Narcan kits are being requested with this spike right now in overdose.
Go right ahead, Niall, please.
No, I just think that's a great point because when you look at, you know, when you're hearing about these deaths, a lot of these people were homeless, right? So are they going to put this out in those communities? Are they going to, you know, like how are they going to pass it out? Because these people can't, they're not going to just walk up to a police station and ask for that. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's a great point as well.
I think that we will probably see more family, friends, loved ones who may know someone who knows someone who's addicted. Years ago, and this is so funny that you mentioned this, Nikki, but years ago during some kind of press event, but they were passing them out, and I had one, and I still have it, and it's sitting in the closet, the linen closet on the second floor of my house, and I literally happened to see it last week. And I think, I don't know of anyone that, you know, I don't know of anyone who is using fentanyl, but I think that it's like a fire extinguisher where you don't need it until you need it. And who knows, maybe, you know, one day there may be some guy or woman walking down the middle of my, you know, my quiet Baltimore street who's having a, you know, an issue, an overdose. And hopefully, you know, I can run to the closet and save a life with that, you know, that fire extinguisher, like, you know, Narcan inhaler. So I don't know. Lots to think about. Let us move on now to something that is affecting each and every one of us. Have you seen the cost of gas lately, Nayo?
Woo, child. Woo!
Something like a GPA for, like, okay. Magna cum laude and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I wish my GPA was looking like that, okay?
Like, AP courses, doctorate. These are some high numbers.
Oh.
Yeah, they're trying to get their PhD. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, or can we talk about the price of airline tickets? Or can we talk about...
that's even worse.
Or maybe even the price of food. My goodness, I used to be able to fill my cart for less than $100, and now I can see the bottom of the cart for more than $100.
Wait a minute. I think you're telling a story. I've seen what you cook for under $100. I've seen those posts on Instagram. I am not believing that you are the thrifty, you know, chef here.
I am. I really am.
I call shenanigans, man.
You call shenanigans. What
That's
do we?
A clean word.
Well, okay, I'll have you all over for dinner.
Thank you.
There'll be a fee, but what are we going to do about inflation? You know, Nayo, we have unemployment at, you know, very, very low levels right now. People are going, you know, back to work. Some people who have walked off their jobs are walking back to new jobs or back to old jobs. Gonna have my job back. And yet it is just so much more expensive to walk, to breathe, to,
yeah,
to do it. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a scary world, right? I mean, it's opening up, but it almost makes you want to stay back inside. You're like, you know, I just want to stay inside. But these are the times that we really have to hold our local officials, our presidential branch. I mean, this is when we have to hold President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris accountable, right? We have to have these conversations. Like, this is not fair. We should not be paying $5-$6 for gas. I mean, around the world, I think California is up to $6 or $7. And it's just ridiculous because we have to drive, right? We have to be on the move. So how can we fix this? And those that are having to go back to work, I mean, they're requiring many to go back to work now. And if you're not in New York, some people don't take public transportation. So it is ridiculous. You want to travel. You want to go places because the world is opening back up. But as the prices continue to go to skyrocket, it makes you, you start to question. You start to question, do I need to go out? Do I need to go places after being inside for more than 2 years? And that's not something that we should be worried about. So we have to hold our officials
accountable.
Nikki, can we go half on a Tesla?
Can we afford a Tesla?
How about
What's
that?
What's the inflation on that?
I mean, Teslas are looking cheaper and cheaper every day just because of these gas prices. I mean, I'm over here calculating. I might need to get a Tesla at this point.
Yeah, but, you know, beyond that, anybody do any flying lately?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
I have not.
I lost a little bit for work, but that's on the company dollar.
Oh, yeah. See, I was looking for a plane ticket, you know, this week just to go somewhere. And here's the thing. Even as I'm looking for the plane ticket, I'm also looking at reports on television saying you may very well pay 30% more than you paid pre-COVID. Well, that is what the plane tickets are doing. I mean, the price of a plane ticket is just disrespectful. And
make decisions. Maybe it's time for a staycation.
you mean the staycation that we've basically had since March of 2020?
Yeah. Everyone makes fun of me for this, but I'm being very honest. I've traveled all the way from the D.C. area down to Arkansas twice in my car. So that was painful enough. And I did that because, you know, let's be straight. If you have people who do have conditions that make them more susceptible to COVID, I didn't want to be the person bringing it to them. So that's how I kind of went home for the holidays in air quotes, right? That said, I mean, my car did okay. I'm sorry. I'm not pushing a rig. But these plane tickets, it's like if you can't afford to go, maybe that's time to, you know, tighten up those belts. Maybe it's time for to continue the staycation already.
Yeah, which brings us to the next issue about the mask mandates on planes, trains, buses, subways. CDC extending it until at least May 3rd. Dr. Anthony Fauci saying, yep, it should happen. All of this because of the Omicron variant BA2. Nayo, I think we are having another perfect storm of all things, you know, COVID. I don't know. It's masks, high prices to travel, and, you know, it seems like it's deja vu all over again.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. I mean, I think when it comes to the mask mandate, I'm not going to say that I'm a huge fan of it, but I'm not opposed to it in certain situations. Because some people, I mean, with the mask, I just feel a little bit safer, right? I don't know what they're carrying, even if it's not COVID, it could be any other sickness. But when I'm in like public places, on the planes, at a restaurant, you know, you want the people that are like cooking your food, little things like that, where it's like I'm okay with the idea of wearing a mask in order just to keep myself from being sick. But unfortunately, when there are mask mandates, people start to want to be rebels, right? And you start dealing with people that are like, well, I don't want to wear a mask anymore. And that's where it causes a lot of the issues and people boycotting or doing whatever they need to do. And so that's, I guess, what's scary about it. But I'm not too opposed to stretching out the mask mandate when it comes to being in public spaces, like on the plane, like in the grocery stores, et cetera, where it is probable that you could catch something.
Yeah, and, you know, and this whole thing about, you know, some of the airline associations pushing back on the mask mandates and saying that the filtration system in an airplane is the best of any public transportation. I don't know about you, but you're in a tube. And
I don't know how to speak to that part, but it is one thing about this consumers feeling safe, as well as, you know, what position are you putting the personnel that work on the vessel in? Because if you're leaving them to be the enforcers of it, not law enforcement, but like your flight attendant, the train steward, and whatever other people on the cruise or whatever, it's a lot of responsibility that these people never signed up for, and they may not be capable of enforcing. So I do worry about that part of it. I like the mask. I might be in the small minority, but I like it because, frankly, some people smell bad.
It really does cut down on a body. But I'm glad you said that, Nikki.
Like, body odor is real. I have smelled so less of people. And I've been, like, posting about this on my social media networks. Like, I've been venturing back on the train, but I do have the luxury of working from home. And even on the metro and stuff, on, like, the Nat season opener, like, you know, seeing everybody on the train. Some people were just, like, they didn't care. I cared, and I was smelling a lot of stuff through my mask. So I'm like, no, this mask thing is, it's okay with me. I'm cool. I haven't had a real cold in 2 years. And I think about how many times when I was a kid and a teenager, I used to see tourists, definitely tourists from Asian countries, would come here and they had masks on. And I used to wonder, like, why are they wearing masks? You know, what is that about? You know, it's okay to breathe. And now I'm sitting here like, you know what? They actually knew a lot more than we knew.
Yeah.
So maybe we should have been wearing them for a while.
Yeah, how about that?
They're onto something.
Yeah, maybe. They are onto something. and you know what? When people, like, I like the fact that Niall brought up about, you know, people might fight it and get rebellious. But my question is, we have restaurants that easily have signs in the front that say no shoes, no shirt, no service. And you don't see them rebelling saying, I can come in here barefoot. Like, nobody's doing that. So it's like the selective, I want to be a rebel, but you're picking soft targets. Like, get inside of, like you said, you're inside of a tube. It's already tight and compact in there. And the so-called enforcers are mostly flight attendants who have a weight, they have a weight restriction on them. So they're not going to be like a big, burly bouncer dude.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And
so it's just like, it just kind of makes you very sickened that I always get on people like, oh, so, you know, you want to cheat with the big boys. Like, you're trying to be big, but you're being big with a small person. That's not showing any level of bravado or strength. That's being a coward.
Yeah, and why be uncooperative? Can we just all get on the plane and just get to where we're going?
Yeah.
You know, without the fight. Let me go back to the phone lines. Brian calling from D.C. You are calling back. What's on your mind, Brian? Brian, are you there? I guess not. So, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the Texas governor sending migrants who crossed the border from Mexico into Texas and now sending them to D.C. as a message, a partisan message, to the Democrats. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue at the Reporters Roundtable with a look at the top stories of the week. My guests are Nikki Mayo, editor-at-large with Black Women Unmuted, and Niall Campbell, contributor with The Griot. Okay, so, Niall, I'll start with you today. Texas Governor Greg Abbott sent a busload of undocumented migrants from Mexico to D.C. today. They literally stopped at Union Station. And this is a protest move against President Biden's administration as it relates to rescinding Trump-era border policies, specifically not securing the border, in his words. These migrants, according to the reporting, wanted to come. They had help from Catholic Charities and some other organizations when they arrived. But is this a foreshadowing of things to come? I don't know what to call it. It's one of the most creative protests that I've seen in a while, Naya.
It literally sounds like something out of a movie. I mean, I'm hearing this, hearing this on the news, I'm like, is this a real story? Sounds like something out of the Twilight Zone. It's just very interesting. I don't live in Texas, and I can't speak for Texas, but one thing about Governor Abbott is that he is going to make sure that if he is against something, his voice is heard. But it's very interesting where he puts his time and where he puts his money, right? There's so many other issues that are going on in this world that he chooses to ignore, but he can afford to get these buses and have people dropped off right outside Union Station. I mean, you know, if that's his way of getting this message across, it's definitely very unique, but it literally sounds like it's outside of a movie. And you do, I mean, he is someone that people, you got to question his motives, right? You got to question, you know, what's going on in his head. I'm trying to be very polite as much as possible, but that is just unique right there. I mean, that man he never ceases to amaze me. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I said that the migrants were from Mexico. They were from actually Colombia, Cuba, Venezuela,
Cuba,
Nicaragua.
Yeah.
But on the point of being polite, I'll leave that to Nikki to really just call a spade a spade. So go ahead.
Welcome to election 2022, people. Yes, yeah. This man is up for re-election. So that needs to be first laid out there. And it could be considered a political stunt. These immigrants who are seeking refuge here in the United States could easily be seen as political football. Texas is like Florida when it comes to political reporting, okay? If you want to say Texas man or Texas politician, you know something crazy is about to come after that part. And what I'm noticing right now is that what Governor Abbott is doing here, he's just trying to show that he is taking the request of the people and probably a lot of his own personal opinions, and he's running with it. They say they don't want any immigrants coming across, refugee or not. You know, if they're worried about COVID, if they're worried about the normal border caravan, you know, propaganda conversations, then he's going to take some dramatic steps because, yeah, he sent people up here in a bus, but he also, like, put several things in order at the border where he said he wants to enhance safety inspections for vehicles that are coming, trying to get into Texas from Mexico. He's trying to put boat blockades along certain stretches of the Rio Grande. And he has called for razor wire in the low water crossing areas. Like, everything about this is one step away from build a wall, okay? So he's being very consistent on brand with, we do not want you here. And since Biden, you know, he's always saying, since the president is not going to take care of it, now we're going to do the whole, well, state's right. We have the right to so-called defend our state. And that's where you get this political stunt of, well, we're going to send this bus past Austin. So they were originally sending them to Austin, which is the state capital. I'm like, no. We're going to send them all the way to the nation's capital. Let the president deal with that. So it's great political theater, but there's people that are being used as political footballs. And, you know, it's just callous as all get out. So in summary, welcome to election 2020.
Yeah, and I think my first concern was, are they just picking up people and putting them on a bus whether they want to go or not? Again, the reporting was that they wanted to come here. But I think the optics of that, as you said, Nikki, these are people. And it appears that they are being used as political pawns in this huge chess match between, you know, the Biden administration and the governor of Texas, and some could argue, you know, a former President Trump default when it comes to the issues at hand.
Look at the contrast.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, look at the contrast of how would a, I'm going to go blue and red here, so how would a Democratic politician handle this versus how would a Republican candidate handle this after the Trump era, where it was big to be like, you know, to be the bully, to be the very outlandish politician that gave the results to the people. People might have said, we don't want them here. But normally it was handled in a more humane way. Now they're just like, no, I'm putting them all on a bus and like send them up to D.C. And like, that's okay.
And I think also, I wonder what this suggests could happen down the road when Catholic charities or other organizations are not there to greet them, because eventually this could very well fall directly or indirectly to the administration of D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. And if the migrants come to D.C. and they just drop them off like kids at camp with, no place to go, no support services, not knowing anyone. And that could be the next unpleasant step. Then it's the optics would not be, against the Biden administration. This would be, a D.C. issue. And it would really, really cramp, cramp the political stylings of the mayor.
Yeah, but in the day of Cricket mobile phones and burner phones, there's no way you can move that many people that far without somebody calling a cousin or abuelita or something up here and saying, hey, they're bringing me to D.C. Like, there's just no way. Plus, in D.C., we do have a lot of money and resources toward, acclimating people to the area. So not that it'd be ideal, but at least we're a place that has more money to put towards this. Now, if you drop them in the middle of, somewhere between here and Texas, and just say, all right, like random Tennessee town. Like, I used to work in Bristol, Kingsport, Johnson City, Tennessee. Mm. If you drop them off there, it's going to be some problems.
I would imagine so.
Any aspect of Appalachia, it's going to be some problems. But if you drop them off in an affluent city like D.C., sure, people are like, no, we got our own problems. But D.C. still will have enough money. Plus, you have, like you said, Catholic charities are there. Fine. They may not be there immediately, but they'll be there. Other organizations that are devoted to immigrant rights, we're right here in land of the lobbying. It's a great photo op. They would be okay in D.C. So technically, there was a little bit of humanity in this crazy political stunt that, Governor Abbott did. Because if he had dropped them anywhere between here and it just may not have worked well.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let us hope that there will continue to be some humanity, particularly as it relates to some of these other issues, not just the migrant issue, but as we continue to deal with this drug situation. And, Nikki, Nayo, and me, maybe we can go. Who gets to drive the Tesla on the weekend?
Y'all can have it on the weekend.
Okay.
Okay.
Y'all can split it.
I appreciate that. I really do. Nikki Mayhill and Nayo Campbell, thank you so much for talking to us tonight.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, April 13th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.